choices. Taking into account the consequences of your decisions is responsible choice. It means to create strongly in the present moment. Do not lose power over the what-ifs of your life. These are unlimited and endless. Keep your power in the now, in present time. Keep your power just in the day that you are living on the earth, and not on how to maneuver tomorrow. Use all of your worldly connections, but not out of panic and not out of fear. Do what you need to do on your end. Your choice comes in knowing appropriate timing, clear motivation, and trust. Allow your intuition to guide your timing. Take it inside. Ask how you feel, and then move forward. Allow yourself to experience what it is to learn, step by step, the freedom that comes from being unattached to the outcome, but operating from an empowered heart. Do not assume that the universe operates like humankind, because it does not. Do not insist that the universe comply with your understanding of it. Rather, hold on to the thought that there is nothing without value that exists upon the earth, that it is impossible to create any form of life that does not have value. Therefore, it is impossible to create any action that does not have value. You may not see it, but that is irrelevant. Live in the trust that when it is appropriate, pieces will fall into place and you will see clearly. Trust allows you to call forth your negativities in order to heal them. It allows you to follow your feelings through your defenses to their sources, and to bring to the light of consciousness those aspects of yourself that resist wholeness, that live in fear. The journey to authentic power requires that you become conscious of all that you feel. The unearthing and healing of your negativities may appear to be an endless process, but it is not. Your vulnerabilities and weaknesses and fears are not different from those of your fellow humans. Do not despair because your humanness awakens. Feel your intentions in your heart. Feel not what your mind tells you, but what your heart tells you. Rather than serve the fake gods of your mind, serve your heart, the real God. You will not find God in your intellect. Divine intelligence is in the heart. Open yourself to your fellow humans. Allow yourself to experience what you feel toward them and to hear what they feel. Your interactions with them form the basis of your growth. When you fear what you will find in yourself or what you will find in others, if you do not allow yourself to hear what others have to say, you turn your back on the opportunities that the universe is giving you to find the power of your heart, the power of compassion. It is not until you have the courage to engage in human relationships that you grow. Compassion is mutual compassion. The physical body is soothed and invigorated by the energy of the heart, and torn by lower frequency currents of anger, rage, fear, and violence. When you treat another harshly and distance yourself from your heart, it is you that suffers as well as the other. And when you treat another with compassion, you treat yourself kindly at the same time. As your consciousness expands, and as you become aware of what you feel, you become aware of the dual effects of compassion and the lack of it. You become aware of the damage that you do to your own body when you feel and act without compassion. Challenge your fears. Fear of growing and of transformation of self is what causes you to want to disengage from the present situation and reach for another. When you feel that you are in a pattern of wanting what you do not have instead of what you do have, of seeing the grass in the other pasture as greener because it is in the other pasture, confront it. Challenge it each time it comes up by literally realizing that when it comes up, you are not in the present moment. You are not engaged in your present energy dynamic, but rather, you are letting energy leak to a future that does not exist. Each time you feel negative, stop, acknowledge that you are, and discharge it consciously. Ask what you are feeling and what is at the root of it. Go for the root of it in that instance, and as you work to pull the root, simultaneously look at the positive side and remind yourself of the greater truth that there is something spiritually profound at work. That your life is no accident, that you are under contract. Be mindful of the words that you use and the actions that you live, and who you are, and how it is you use your power. In other words, as you say what you say, as you make commitments, as you form the power of your life, keep clear at all times that you are what you say you are, that you put your force behind what you say, and monitor that accordingly. If you are unaware of your intention, or if you suspect that you are operating from a second agenda, ask yourself, what is really going on? Check your motivations. That automatically engages guidance. You will not be alone in your assessment. Trust allows you to give. Giving is abundant. As you give, so it shall be given to you. If you give with judgment, limitation, and stinginess, that is what you will create in your life. Judgment, limitation, and stinginess. What you say to others shall be done exactly unto you. That is the law of karma. And how you love and serve others shall be done exactly unto you. If you radiate love and compassion, you do receive it. If you radiate fear and suspicion and a sense of wishing to keep people at arm's length, then negativity comes to you because that is what you are asking for. Trust allows the experience of bliss. When you trust that the universe in each moment is providing for the needs of your soul, and that the guidance and assistance of your non-physical guides and teachers are always available to you, you are free to enjoy your interactions with others and to leave aside the heavier frequencies of manipulation and protectiveness. Awakenness is a blissful state, not a painful one. It is blissful. It is fully balanced and lovingly harmonious. It is all of these things and more. The vertical path means clarity, not pain. Trust allows you to laugh. You can just as easily laugh and play while you grow as become serious and overwhelmed. Spiritual partners see from the perspective of the impersonal, and they help each other see from that perspective the meaning of their experiences. They can laugh at the richness and the beauty and the playfulness of the universe. They enjoy each other. They see the frustrations of the wants of the personality for what they are. Learnings. Sometimes, great learnings for the soul. All of what you are doing in each day is creating what is appropriate and perfect. Apply consciousness to this process. That is trust. Although what you encounter and what you do in each moment is appropriate and perfect to the evolution of your soul, the shape of the experiences of your life is determined nonetheless by the choices that you make. It is you that chooses to linger in resentment, or to be consumed by anger, or enveloped in grief, or to release these lower frequency currents of energy. Each choice that you make, to dwell in negativity, or to take up residence in your heart, serves perfectly the evolution of your soul. All roads lead to home. If you choose anger, or grief, or resentment, or jealousy, you will learn the lesson of love, but you will learn it through pain, and trauma, and a sense of loss. You will not evolve. This is not possible. You are on a quest for authentic power. You cannot give up this quest. Your only choice is whether you wish to have the quest consciously or unconsciously. You can choose through your responses to life's difficulties to engage the full power of your soul. This is the conscious path to authentic empowerment. If you will eventually evolve beyond the Earth School, beyond the need for a personality and a body and the illusion in which fear and anger and insecurity appear to exist, why should you choose the vertical path? This is for you to decide. The path that you now walk is not unknown to the universe. The pains and distresses and violences that you experience can be considered a signpost along the path that you have chosen. If you have chosen the path of learning through jealousy, for example, you will experience anxiety and fear of loss of what you think you cannot live without, because these experiences are part of the path of learning through jealousy. They might be thought of as what that road looks like between mile 20 and mile 30. If you choose the path of learning through anger, you will experience rejection and violence. If you choose the path of love, you will experience being loved by others, and so on. because the choice of a particular path is also the choice of particular types of experiences. You do not break new ground from the point of view of the universe. Whether you continue the quest for external power, which now leads nowhere, or decide to build within yourself authentic power and align yourself with the evolutionary path that our species is now on, determines the experiences that you will contribute to the evolution of your soul and to the soul of humankind. You contribute appropriately and perfectly to your evolution and to the evolution of others, no matter what you choose. This is true. Yet why choose to learn unconsciously? Have you gained the sense of security and contentment and fulfillment that you seek in this way? What is it that you wish to contribute and to experience as our species and as each of us individually makes the evolutionary transition from the five-sensory perception of the universe to the multisensory? From evolution through the five-sensory exploration of physical reality to evolution through responsible choice with the guidance and assistance of non-physical guides and teachers. Are you comfortable with the thought that the universe is alien and dead and no more than your five senses can detect? How does your heart respond to the thought that the universe is alive and compassionate, and that with it and with other souls of great power and light, you learn through the process of co-creating the reality that you experience? Look at the probable futures that are unfolding before our world that is built upon the energy of the personality, and the probable futures that would unfold before a world that is built upon the energy of the soul. Which do you choose? Allow yourself to become aware of what you feel. Give yourself permission to choose the most positive behavior in each moment. As you discharge negative energy consciously and set your intentions according to what your heart tells you, as you challenge and release your fears and choose to heal, you align your personality with your soul and move toward becoming a being of the light, fully whole and empowered and inwardly secure. Humbleness, forgiveness, clarity, and love, all the gifts of the Spirit, take root and bloom, and you draw to yourself the universe's greatest gift, human beings with open hearts. Rather than a soul in a body, become a body in a soul. Reach for your soul. Reach even farther. The impulse of creation and power authentic. The hourglass point between energy and matter. That is the seat of the soul. What does it mean to touch that place? It is exciting to come of age spiritually. An invitation. Dear friend, if you are interested in creating authentic power and spiritual partnerships in your life, in other words, a life of purpose, love, joy, and fulfillment, I invite you to join me at seatofthesoul.com. It contains a wealth of information, resources, tips, and practical exercises to support you. It is the perfect companion to the seat of the soul, and it will help you expand into the fullness of your potential and give the gifts you were born to give. I look forward to seeing you online at seatofthesoul.com. The Seat of the Soul, Study Guide. The Seat of the Soul presents the largest picture possible of an entire species transforming from a limited perception and brutal means of evolution into awareness of itself and its world as wondrous, and spiritual growth as its means of evolution. This study guide will help you experience this transformation in terms of your own life and everyday experiences. Its exercises support you in looking at and appreciating yourself, your experiences, and others in new ways. It suggests experiments to deepen your understanding and ways to apply it. It encourages you to become the authority in your life and to see for yourself how to create a life of harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life with a capital L. You can explore any question or remain with any exercise as long as you choose. You can also return to sections to get deeper insight. I have been exploring my spiritual growth for about 25 years, and I continue to understand the concepts in the Seat of the Soul more deeply each year, sometimes each week. The deeper you allow yourself to go with yourself and others, the more you will accelerate your growth and become a conscious, heart-centered contributor to your evolution and the evolution of our species. Keep a journal while you're studying the Seat of the Soul. Each time you read it, you may find deeper meanings and new insights. Write your insights and your thoughts in your journal to help you remember them, and also so that you can see over time how they have changed. You can use this study guide alone, or even better, with a group. If you're not in a group, I encourage you to create one. If you study with a group, I suggest you share your answers to the questions and the results of your experiments with your group, if you feel comfortable. The people in your group are your potential spiritual partners. Eventually, new perceptions and values will bring you naturally into constructive co-creation with others. Although no one can do the work of your own evolution for you, the day of the lone wolf, the solitary monk, the hermit seeking enlightenment in isolation is over. Until recently, our evolution has unfolded very slowly. Now it is happening at lightning speed. Within a few generations, all humans will experience the expanded perception that is now emerging in millions of us. This study guide will help you not only to recognize this expanded perception in yourself, but also to use it consciously to bring this amazing new potential, authentic power, into your own life. An expanded multimedia version of this study guide, including videos and meditations, is available to you online at seatsofthesoul.com/SG for study guide. An online support program and community are also available at seatsofthesoul.com. I hope you find these things genuinely useful. I'm happy to be a student in the Earth School with you. Chapter 1. The Seat of the Soul is about the birth of a new humanity. This birth is part effortless and part challenging. The emergence of multisensory perception, perception beyond what can be seen and heard and tasted and touched and smelled, is effortless. It is happening, whether or not we ask for it. Some people even resist it, because they do not want to see what they see. Multisensory perception brings with it a new potential. This is the potential of authentic power. Authentic power is the alignment of the personality with the soul. This new potential does not automatically come into being. Each of us must create it for ourselves. Creating authentic power requires experiencing within us the differences between fear on the one hand and love on the other hand, and choosing love no matter what is going on inside us, such as anger, jealousy, or resentment, or what is going on outside us, such as another 9/11 attack, an illness, or the death of a child. This is the challenging part. The seat of the soul shows you what authentic power is, why it is important, and how to create it. Let's begin with evolution. When the physical environment is seen only from the five sensory point of view, physical survival appears to be the fundamental criterion of evolution, and the basis of life in the physical arena becomes fear. Power to control the environment and those within it appears to be essential. This produces a type of competition that affects every aspect of our lives. Power over what can be felt, smelled, tasted, heard, or seen is external power. All perceptions of lesser and greater personal value result from the perception of power as external. Competition for external power lies at the heart of all violence. Our deeper understanding leads us to another kind of power that loves life in every form, does not judge, and perceives meaningfulness and purpose in the smallest details upon the earth. This is authentic power. Authentic power has its roots in the deepest source of our being. It cannot be bought, inherited, or hoarded. We are evolving from a species that pursues external power into a species that creates authentic power. No understanding of evolution is adequate that does not have at its core that we are on a journey toward authentic power, and that authentic empowerment is the goal of our evolutionary process and the purpose of our being. Here's some questions to ask yourself to help you look at evolution in the new way. Open to the answers that come to you, and when more thoughts come to you, open yourself to them also. There are no right or wrong answers. These questions are designed to help you explore yourself and your experiences. Sometimes answers will continue to come to you. Let that happen. If you are in a group, share your answers, and then continue to ask these questions to yourself after you leave the group. Write your answers down so that you will remember them. They will stimulate even more questions and answers in you when you read them in the future. Start with this question. Do you think that a loving person is more evolved than a mean-spirited person? Why? Here's another. Have you ever had a multisensory experience? Or do you think you might have had one? Do you ever feel or suspect that you have gifts to give and you want to know what they are? What makes a powerful person powerful? Who affects your life most powerfully? People who intimidate you, or people who sincerely care for you? Write down several examples of external power. Have you had an experience or experiences of authentic power? Write them down. Have you ever felt that you are more than you thought you were? For example, more than a mind and more than a body. Here's an exercise to help you understand multisensory perception. Am I multisensory? Make a list of the ways that you can identify that you are multisensory. For example, I know inside what decisions I need to make. I have hunches. I value my insights. I use my intuition. Sometimes I know more than I can see. Here's another helpful way to understand multisensory perception. A five-sensory human has only a single object of detection, and that is the physical world. So to detect that world, the five-sensory human uses touch and hearing and taste and sight and smell. And the five-sensory human pursues external power. The multisensory human uses five senses as well and is aware of non-physical reality. And for that, the multisensory human uses intuition, insight, a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, and clarity. And the multisensory human creates authentic power. Here is a life lesson you can use to go even more deeply into your multisensory perception. You may be surprised at how much multisensory perception is already a part of your life. The goal is to recognize it, honor it, and experiment with it. Experiences of multisensory perception may be more natural to you than you expect. Multisensory perception is your ability to see beyond what the five senses can detect. Set your intention every day for the next week to find meaning for you personally in your everyday experiences. Open yourself to seeing meaning that you did not see before and recognizing your insights as valuable experiences of multisensory perception. Take notes and journal every night about what you have seen from your multisensory perception. At the end of the week, write down your answers to these questions. What was your most meaningful example of multisensory perception? What did you learn from this experience? How did your intention to find meaning in your everyday life affect your experiences? Be specific. How did what you discovered affect your perspective of yourself and others? Give examples. Now take another week and set the same intention every day. Take notes and journal every night about what you've seen from your multisensory perspective. At the end of this time, write your answers to these questions. What did you discover about yourself by opening to your multisensory perception? and be specific. What was the first multisensory experience in your life that you recognized as a multisensory experience? What is the most meaningful example of a multisensory experience in your life? Here's a reminder. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 1 study guide with video and meditation, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG1. Chapter 2. This chapter is about your intellect and your five senses. They are related. Your five senses provide your intellect information. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Your intellect compares and analyzes this information, deduces and concludes things about it, and tells you how to stay alive and comfortable. It cannot comprehend information that does not come from your five senses. This is the kind of information that multisensory perception provides you. It literally, quote, makes no sense to your intellect. We call this information illogical or nonsense. For example, experiences of other personalities of your soul that live in different times and different places, such as the past, from the perspective of your personality. Yet it is precisely this kind of information that is now necessary for us to create healthy, empowered, and constructive lives. The intellect cannot even imagine this new circumstance. This chapter is about exactly this circumstance. In the East, it is called karma. And in the West, it is called the Golden Rule. Let's go into karma. Creating authentic power requires that you become responsible for everything that you create. The universal law of cause and effect shows you how you already are responsible for everything that you create. And knowledge of this law gives you a strong incentive to create healthy and constructive experiences with your choices. This is the law of karma. What you cause another to experience, you or another personality of your soul will experience also. Conversely, what another personality of your soul causes in the experience of another, you may experience also. Karma is the impersonal, universal teacher of responsibility. When you understand that your experiences are karmic necessities, you are less likely to take them personally. That means to react with anger, righteous outrage, judgment, and so on. Remember the saying, "Judge not, lest you be judged." This means that you also will create fewer painful experiences and more joyful experiences for yourself and other personalities of your soul. When you choose wisely and responsibly, while you are angry, while you are judgmental, etc., you enter into the evolution of your soul consciously. And you create authentic power. Here's some questions to help you explore how you interact with the law of karma in your everyday experiences. if you feel reactions to any of them, such as you become judgmental or dismissive, appreciative, amazed, or validated, make a note of these reactions. If you are in a group, share your answers and listen with openness to the experiences of fellow souls who share with you. Write your answers down so that you will remember them. You may discover that some of them change over time. Here's the first question. How many times this last week did you feel angry, resentful, betrayed, superior, inferior, and so on, and acted on that emotion? Here's another question. Have you ever asked yourself, "Why me? What did I do to deserve this?" Write down some examples. How many times have you felt hurt and wanted to hurt the person you felt was responsible? Would you have acted the same way if you knew that the cause of your hurt may have occurred centuries before you were born? How do you feel about the possibility of consciously creating blissful experiences for yourself and for other personalities of your soul? Imagine how you could do this. Write all that comes to you and go back to it frequently. Choose what experiences you intend to bring into your life. Here's an exercise to get you ready to engage consciously with the law of karma. It's called a week of kindness. Go out of your way to see how you can be friendly and kind to people that you encounter during this week. Extend this kindness to people you talk to on the phone, email, or write. Then notice how you feel and what effects you notice in your life. Share your experiences with others, and if they are not also doing this exercise, invite them to join you and to share their experiences as you share yours. Have you ever really explored the Golden Rule? Here's an exercise to help you. Remember a time when something happened to you that you were surprised and delighted about. For example, an unexpected gift or kindness. Ask yourself, have I ever surprised and delighted others in a similar way? Remember when something happened to you and you were shocked and hurt. For example, when you were betrayed or someone raged at you. Ask yourself, have I ever shocked and hurt others in a similar way? Have you ever considered that the things you are experiencing, joyful or painful, are consequences of choices you have made or that another personality of your soul has made? Pondering these questions will stimulate deeper connections and conversations with the people in your life. Now let's go even deeper into karma. Here's an exercise for that. Recall a time when you were aware that you were, or might be, having a karmic experience. An experience that you felt or sensed had to do with karma that you created, or that had been created by another personality of your soul. How did it impact your life? It may be that you sensed that there was more to this experience, more happening than you could articulate. Explore this by yourself, and you can also explore it with others. Ask your intuition how knowing this can support you in your spiritual growth. If you have not had such an experience, imagine what one would feel like to you. Chapter 3. In the past, reverence meant putting something, such as divinity, or someone, such as a saint, above and beyond human experience. Now, we can sense ourselves and others in ways that we cannot detect with our eyes, ears, nose, taste, and touch. We do not confuse the things that our five senses tell us about a person, such as her sex, skin color, or nationality, with her essence. Five-sensory humans do not mistake the clothes that an individual is wearing, for example, a business suit, evening gown, or work jeans, with the individual that is wearing them. In the same way, multisensory humans do not mistake an earth suit, such as a white American artist, or a yellow Thai nun, or a black African teacher, with the soul that is wearing it. Multisensory humans also sense oceans, forests, deserts, and mountains in ways that five-sensory humans cannot. Connecting with the essence of a person or thing is a multisensory experience. This is reverence. Reverence is different from respect. You can respect one person without respecting another person, but you cannot revere one person without revering everyone. So what is reverence? Reverence is seeing beyond the outer shell of appearance to the essence within it. Reverence is connecting with the true power and essence of what a person is or what a thing is. It is a holy perception. It is recognizing personalities as earth suits and shifting your attention away from the earth suit to what is wearing it. That is the soul. Reverence is accepting that all life is, in and of itself, sacred. Without reverence, we become cruel and destructive and create painful karma for ourselves. A reverent person automatically avoids the severe karmic consequences that are created by acting without reverence. And each reverent action is a step toward aligning itself with its soul. The soul reveres all of life with a capital L. A reverent person sees and honors divinity with a capital D in all its forms. Living with reverence requires challenging the values and perceptions of a five-sensory world that does not value life with a capital L. Becoming reverent is essentially becoming a spiritual person. Here's some questions for you. Use these questions to bring your attention to experiences of reverence. Allow them to stimulate new perceptions and insights in you. How often do you judge the people around you because of their skin color, appearance, clothing, beliefs, actions, and possessions? Sometimes this question is difficult to answer because the parts of your personality that judge others are so familiar to you that their judgments don't seem like judgments. They seem like the way things actually are. So take at least a day to observe how often you judge others or yourself, and write down your judgments as you notice them. Do you notice when you think people are judging you for the same reasons? Write or share your observations. Can people earn your reverence like they can earn your respect? Notice what you feel when you feel reverence, and what you feel when you have respect for others. Write what you notice, and share it with others if possible. Do you see divinity in all forms of life with a capital L? Would you like to? Spend a day or two seeing if you can sense divinity wherever you look. Let's do an exercise. It's called, Can You See Differently? Close your eyes if you're in a place that's safe for you to do this. Recall a person whom you've known for a long time, but you don't feel close to, and you would like to feel closer to. Do you feel inferior to, or jealous of your friend? Or perhaps superior and judgmental? Why do you feel distant from this person? Have you been looking only at your friend's earth suit? Have you been focusing on what he does or how he dresses? Do you feel you are not able to communicate because of a misunderstanding or a fight you had? Are you distant because your life has taken you in a different direction? Now open yourself to the possibility of seeing your friend differently. Set your intention to see beyond the appearances of your friend's earth suit. Spend at least 15 minutes on this exercise. Close your eyes if you're in a place that's safe for you to do this. Picture your friend. Remind yourself that you don't know all that goes into the life of your friend, his challenges, his fears, his joys, his terror. Remember that you are a soul, and so is your friend. Open your eyes and notice how you feel about your friend now. Do you feel compassion? If not, continue to do this exercise over and over until you feel a shift from contraction to openness, from seeing your friend only as a personality, to knowing that your friend is a soul wearing an earth suit. Allow yourself to feel the instant that your fear, judgment, and disdain disappear and reverence appears. Do this daily for as long as you like, and choose different people in your life that you would like to change your perspective on from judgmental to reverent. Here's a life lesson to help you bring more reverence into your life. Set the intention this week to see with reverence everyone and everything, including your relationships with people who are close to you, acquaintances, people you meet in passing, people you feel a distance from, and so on. Set this intention each morning and every time you remember during the day. At the end of the week, write your answers to these questions. What did looking at everything with reverence during this last week help you to realize? Give examples. What did you create by holding this intention? Be specific. Now use these questions to help you explore reverence further. Your soul reveres life with a capital L in all its forms, including you. Do you revere you? What would it mean to revere yourself? Would revering yourself be narcissistic? Some fear-based parts of your personality may feel narcissistic. It is important to become aware of them so that you can tell the difference between narcissism and revering yourself. Write or share about your discoveries. What would it mean to revere someone else? If reverence is recognizing the essence of a person or thing, how could you revere the essence of someone else and not revere your essence? If you revered all things, how would your life be different? And here's another reminder. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 3 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG3. Chapter 4. Your emotions are very important. You cannot grow spiritually without becoming aware of them. This turns the view of emotions that most of us hold upside down. We think that emotions serve no useful purpose. Like an appendix, they can be very painful, and nothing is lost by having an appendix removed. A wonderful treasure is lost when you are removed from your emotions. Your emotions are messages from your soul that bring you priceless information. If you do not receive the information, it is delivered again and again. Not only pleasing and blissful emotions bring you important information, painful emotions, including the most unbearable, bring you important information too. In other words, the path to spiritual growth leads through your heart. Only through your emotions can you experience the force field of your own soul. Your emotions tell you what parts of your personality are loving and create joyful consequences when you act on them, and what parts are fearful and create painful consequences when you act on them. As you become spiritual, you become heart-centered. Many people feel that heart-centered means mushy and sentimental, but that is actually the opposite of heart-centered. Becoming heart-centered means choosing to act from loving parts of your personality instead of frightened parts of your personality. In other words, moving from being unconsciously controlled by fearful emotions to consciously choosing to act on love-based emotions. Once you can do this, you are in a position to change your life, your future, and your world. That means getting to know your heart. The logics that enabled us to evolve as a five-sensory species cannot meaningfully represent the existence of the soul. Evolution without time, or the non-physical dynamic of karma that generates and links many lifetimes. Therefore, the time has come for a higher order of logic and understanding. The creation of this higher order of logic and understanding requires close attention to feelings, and this requires the heart. Your emotions show you which parts of your personality are aligned with your soul and which parts are not. Without awareness of your emotions, you cannot see the dynamics that lie behind your emotions or the ends these dynamics serve. Only a compassionate heart can engage evil directly. Evil is the absence of light with a capital L, divinity with a capital D, divine intelligence with caps. The remedy for an absence is a presence. Only the heart can bring light with a capital L where there was none. Therefore, only the heart can engage evil directly. Understanding evil as the absence of light, capital L, enables you to see that the only place to begin the process of eliminating evil is within yourself. Here are some questions that can help you become aware of your emotions and the role of your heart. Becoming aware of your emotions and using them to create authentic power does not mean ceasing to use your intellect. On the contrary, you use it more and more consciously, which means more and more in the service of the heart, in the service of love, instead of unconsciously in the service of fear. Here's the first question. Have you ever thought of your emotions as serving a purpose beyond fight or flight survival? What emotions do you encounter in yourself that you feel are based in fear? What emotions do you experience in yourself that you feel come from love? Here's another question. What does the higher order of logic and understanding of the heart mean to you? Write down your thoughts so that you can refer to them later. Have you ever considered evil as an absence of love? What would this mean for you if it were true? Write about this and share from your heart with others who are open. Have you ever considered the idea that the place to begin eliminating evil in the world is within you? Write the ideas and insights that come to you as you ponder this idea. If it were true, in what ways would you eliminate evil in you? Here's an exercise called Choose Your Intentions with Your Heart. For the next day or the next week, ask yourself, why do I really want to do or say this? Before you choose what you do or say. Is it to create harmony? Am I doing or saying what feels good in my heart? Am I doing or saying what my mind is telling me? Write your answers in your journal. Once you have done this for yourself, ask others to join you in this exercise and share about it. Here is another exercise called Open Your Heart. Practice opening your heart by thinking of a time when